bless our time together. Word, thank you, Lord, that you're here where two or three have gathered. For the gospel reading, one of the readings we had at some point in time, out of Luke 10, the very end, the Lord just kind of piggybacked on that today, hanging out with him. It's where Jesus is in the house of Martha and Mary. They're very familiar scripture. Where the one thing where people out in International House of Prayer, not House of Pancakes. When we say IHOP, people think that we're talking about pancakes, but there's an International House of Prayer, and they've devoted their lives of just a group of people, and they're huge now. They've devoted their lives to one thing, and this is where the one thing, where Mary is seated at the feet of Jesus, and Martha's distracted and frustrated, and Jesus tells her that Mary has chosen the better part. What she's chosen won't be taken away from her. And he said that one thing, this one thing. The Lord answered and said to Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen it. And everything. So, if Jesus tells us, you know, because we read in Scripture about to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And so, if the Lord is telling us that this is the one thing, right? This is the one thing that will never be taken away from it, because actually that one thing is going to roll over, right? Like you have rollover miles or rollover points. It's going to roll over into eternity, right? Never be taken away from her. And I was talking to someone recently, a person who was just having a difficult time for a while. And what I told them was, the reason you're having such a difficult time is because there's no fight in you. We want the things of the Lord. And that says in Hebrews, kind of a, when you read it, it says, Hebrews chapter 4 is talking about the rest of God, which is the abundant Christian life, where he is, where it is finished, he's done it. And it says this thing, it says, today if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. And it tells us to be diligent to enter rest. Right? Be diligent to enter God's rest. And that word, diligent there, you know, we say it in the, again, Greek is so much better than our English language, because it's just so watered down, our language is, some of these words. But this word here, diligent, is means to move speedily, right? It almost gives the idea that you're running towards something, you're going towards something, and you're pushing everything else out of the way to get there, right? Like you're fighting to get to that. There's things that are maybe in your way, and you're just knocking everything to get there. You know, back when we had, you know, rotary telephones or, you know, push-button telephones in your home, when it rang, you know, you had to get to it. And sometimes you had to get around stuff to try to find the phone and get to it. And that's kind of the same thing as we, to get the presence of God. Timothy, when Paul's writing Timothy, he tells him this thing to fight the good fight. There's the fight of faith. And it's a good fight, right? Meaning that there could be some fights that aren't good, but there are some fights that are absolutely necessary. And he tells him this, when he's talking to him, the whole thing about the love of money, and the root of all, it's not money, it's the love of money. And he says, some by longing for that have wandered away from the faith. And he said, but flee these things, you man of God, and pursue, go after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance. And he says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. And you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So when it's talking about take hold of the eternal life, it's not talking about take hold of living in eternity, right, in heaven. It means the quality of life right now. That you've got to grab and take hold of this eternal life, or this quality of life that you have in Christ. And to get it, you have to have fight, right? Because the battle and the warfare coming against you is going to do everything it can to keep you from that. To keep you from, we read it every day, loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and all your strength. Everything within you, right? That if you want, and I've seen many people get set free from things, but I've never seen anybody get set free of anything that they didn't have some kind of fight in them. Right? Because if you give in so easily, or give in to the this or the emotions or whatever, then it'll just plow you over, right? So there's this fight of faith that we have. Like, if you want everything that God has for you, and this is in Philippians, Paul's talking about this. We'll get to some Old Testament stuff here, and I'm trying to go really quick to get all this in. When he's saying that he's counting all things lost in view of knowing Jesus, and nothing on the earth can even compare to that. And he said, I've suffered the loss of all things, but they're rubbish when you put them in comparison to Christ, right? And that word, we know what that word rubbish means. That means refuse and stuff. That's in comparison. That's how good he is. And he says, I want to be found in him, or that word is always being found, being in Christ, not having a righteousness of my own. That I may know him. He said, this is my heart. This is what I want in life. That I may know him, that I may know the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, or the fellowship of his emotions. Talk about that a lot here, that asking the Lord to help me feel what he feels, being conformed to his death. And then he says this, not that I've already obtained it, but one thing I do is I press on that I may lay hold of. And then he goes on in verse, that's a press on to lay hold of the goal of the prize. Let me read this. I just lost my place and I went blurry. Not that I've already obtained it or I've already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing that I do, I forget what lies behind and I reach forward to what lies ahead. And that word reach forward, you've heard me say this before, is like a person on your tiptoes. You're trying to reach something up in the cabinet and you are stretched as far as your body can stretch, trying to grab it. And you got it, right? That's really what that word means. And the word goal, I press on toward this goal of this upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We all have the same upward call of God, and that's to be with him, right? That is, what do God want me to do on this earth? Well, one is be with him. That is the most important. And so when Paul says, I make that the goal, that's the word we get our word scope from, like a rifle scope that has crosshairs. That's what he's headed toward. And that's everything in life to him was nothing compared to that. And so to get that, you have to, just like he was telling Timothy too, you got to have some run the race, he talks about. You know, run the race to win. Don't run the race just to run the race so you can cross the finish line, right? So I'll get to go to heaven one day. But we run to win, because our total focus is on the prize. So when we, in May the 8th, when that thing started happening here, where the Lord said, there's this place called a breakthrough that we have. And it was a breakthrough to this new room or this presence of God. So if I want that in my life, and I want a breakthrough that leads to this awesome encounter, it's not going to come to me by osmosis, right? It's not just going to soak into me. I have to go for it. I have to be diligent. And again, that word means with everything within you, go after it with all of your heart. And you know what? There's always a promise that God has that we'll find him. If you seek me, you'll find me. Now, in the Old Testament, remember, everything in the Old Testament is always pointing toward the cross. My daughter's trying to call me. Grace popped up, so it's the grace of God. So everything in the Old Testament is pointing toward the cross. And these words I'm going to read you, this scripture I'm going to give you in Numbers and Deuteronomy and a few in Joshua, is all about God's promise to take them in to Canaan and for them to possess the land, right? Here's what it says. This is in Nehemiah 53, and I'll give them to you so you can go back and look at them. And it says this, you shall drive out the inhabitants of the land before you, destroy their figured stones, destroy their molten images, demolish their high places. You shall take possession of the land and live in it, for I've given you this land to possess it. This is Deuteronomy 17. Well, there's one in 9:1. I missed that one. Deuteronomy 9:1. You can go back and read that one. Hear, O Israel, you are crossing over the Jordan today to to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than you that's fortified to heaven. Deuteronomy 17:14. When you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall possess it and live in it. I will set a king over you like all the nations. And then kind of reading them real quickly here so we have time. Joshua 1:11. Pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself. For within 3 days you're to cross the Jordan. You're going to go in and possess the land which the Lord your God is giving it to you to possess. This is Joshua 21:43. So the Lord gave Israel all the land which he had sworn to their fathers, and they possessed the land and they lived in it. This is 23:5. The Lord your God, he will thrust them out from before you and drive them before you. You will possess the land just as the Lord your God promised you. There's one in Nehemiah 9:25. They captured fertile cities and a fertile land. They took possession of the houses full of every good thing. They made cisterns, vineyards, olive groves, fruit trees in abundance, and reveled in God's goodness. Now, I've read those really fast so I could get to this point. Because several places it talks about where you go in and possess your possession, right? When they crossed the Jordan, it's not a picture. Now, when they came out of Egypt and crossed the Red Sea, that's just a picture of a person being born again. But a spirit-filled life and the abundant life is the picture in Joshua kind of equates to the New Testament Ephesians, where they crossed the Jordan and they went in to possess the land. Houses that were already built for them, there were fruit trees, land of milk and honey. Everything was already done for them, a picture being in Christ, but they had to cross and they had to go in and they had to possess it and they had to dispossess the enemy in order to possess the land, right? So if we're going to possess all that we have in Christ, then you got to have that heart. You have to go after it to possess, and you have to dispossess the enemy, right? Because he's going to do everything he can. Like Bishop said, we don't make the enemy our focus, but we understand that there is an enemy that tries to trip us up. And the scheme of it is so you won't recognize it. But all he does is to distract you, to keep you from going for it. With good things. We call sometimes holy distractions. A holy distraction is when you're ready to pray or seek the Lord and all of a sudden you get a phone call from somebody, or something happens, or people are needing you for something, or hey, I need to ask you something, right? Now, that's not evil stuff, but it's a distraction. It's like not that those people are bad, or what I'm saying is Song of Solomon chapter 8 tells us this, that your vineyard, Your relationship with God and your walk with God is at your disposal. You can have or not have as much as you want, right? But it's all yours, all that you have in Christ. If you want all that you have in Christ, then Scripture tells us to be diligent to enter rest. Isn't that kind of funny? Like, you almost read like, wear yourself out to enter rest. But that's not what he's saying. He said, you want rest, you want everything, there's going to be battle. Right? You got to go in and dispossess and possess what God has already given you. Now, he told them over and over and over again, it's your land. I have already defeated the enemy. All you have to do is show up for the battle. That's all they had to do. They sought God, showed up for the battle. Many times, he just wiped the enemy out with hailstones and all kind of other stuff. They just had to show up, right? One thing I've discovered in my many years, 22 years of full-time ministry and part-time for 30-something. you can't talk anybody into walking with the Lord. You can't talk them into and try to convince them to do that, right? Over and over, hey, try to talk them into, you think that, this, you can present it before them, but you can't talk them into it, right? Because the Lord never overrides a place for us to choose him, right? But why wouldn't we, right? Why wouldn't he go for it? So, it's always there. It's always at your disposal. It's at my disposal. The fullness, it lives in you. I mean, the presence of God is in you. All the spiritual blessing in the heavenly places are yours in Christ. But if you want them to be your reality, you've got to have fight. The fight of faith, right? Paul said in the last letter he wrote was the second letter to Timothy. When he tells him, look, I have fought the fight. I've kept the faith. And there's laid up for me. I'm fixing to enter in fully to everything that I've been apprehended for. God, grab me. And then again, he tells Timothy in the first letter in chapter 6, fight the good fight, Timothy, and take hold. And he tells him in the second letter in chapter 1, hey, Timothy, remember those things spoken over you, those prophetic words that was given you and laid on hand? Stir them up, right? Get up. He's really telling him, get up and go. Fight. Go for it, right? So I think when we get there fully, you know, and, you know, with Christ, it's not going to be, he's not going to be have your life on a big screen and all the stuff you've ever done. That's nonsense. Jesus did all that, took care of all that, right? I think we're going to be grieved over, that we will grieve because there will be tears. He'll wipe the tears. But the grieving is going to be over, I should have gone for it more. You know what I mean? Why didn't I just, geez, what was in life more important than this? Nothing. What was I caught up in? I mean, you know. So we're moving towards, it's a wonderful time to be in, no matter what's going on in the world around you. What's set before you all here is the fullness of Christ, everything that Jesus won for you. You want it, then you got to live your life getting to his feet. And you know what? Sometimes you fight to get there. And if you, you know, the person I was talking to, you know, I got permission to tell this, but battling with a lot of depression, and they just get up and, you know, just stay in their room all day, all the time. And what do I need to do? Get up. Get out of that room. Go. Go lay hold of that for which you've been laid hold of, right? It's not going to just come to you. You're just not going to lay in bed and, oh, have this overwhelming feeling. Get up. You're fighting an enemy that's defeated. But if you want it, then it's going to be the Mary, the one thing. You've got to choose the one thing, right? And I can tell you this from experience. Choosing the one thing is there's nothing in life that compares to it. In his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forever. So if in his presence is fullness of joy, then what is the enemy going to try to keep you out of? His presence. Duh. He longs for that more than you do. You know what? He wants it more than you want it. That's the good news. And he's made it for us. So, well, let's stand. I'm going to pray for you because by no means, anybody hearing this word today, that I want you to feel guilty. That's not it. I'm putting something before you. Like, and my word and encouragement to you is go for it. Because what Psalm 139 says, that God's thoughts to you or toward you or about you outnumber the grain of sand in the earth. Wouldn't you want to hear that? What all he's got to say? All the good things, right? Wouldn't you just, you know, we've all had a taste of the world. Doesn't do it. That's what's before you. And matter of fact, I love the Passion Translation in the Psalms, but the Hebrew in there is like, literally, God cannot wait till you get up so he can talk to you. When TC and I first got married, you know, we came out of, we were both divorced and we got married. I was kind of a napper then. She wasn't much of a napper, but I would take a nap, you know, or something. And she would literally sit beside me or sit in the bed looking at me, waiting till I woke up. And so I would raise one eye and there she's staring at me, you know, waiting for me to get up. And so I would have to get up. I mean, I couldn't go back to sleep, right? Knowing that she was doing that. But that's always been a picture to me that the Lord has given me. That's who he is. And that's what he, you know, that's how much he loves you. He really is. So we want it, then fight the good fight. So when you be like Paul at the end of your life, say, you know what, my fought the good fight. And you know what, it's so worth it. Because you want to pursue these things, men and women of God, and take hold of it, you can. And it's not a fight that you can't win because guess what, it's already won. You're fighting a defeated enemy that's tied hands and feet. And all he can do is lie to you, right?